Okay, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but I really need to say it. I already said it to Kyle. Captain Marvel is amazing. Has anybody seen it yet? Right? Stunning. Okay, I just had to get that out. I told the dogs, but they didn't respond very much. All right, back to matters at hand. Chickens. I don't know much about chickens. Have any of you worked with chickens before? I see one hand. A couple. People in Vermont have chickens in their yards. They keep chickens in their yards, not in their farms, in their yards. So you can drive down the street and you have to watch out that the chicken doesn't try to cross the road. That's about as much as I know about chickens. That, and I used to help my grandpa feed his in the coop he kept in his yard when I was a kid. So since one of those key phrases in our gospel lesson today had to do with chickens, I did a little chicken research online, which is easy to do these days. One of the things I discovered about chickens is that chickens and the Tyrannosaurus rex actually share a similar genetic makeup. How about that? A 2011 study showed that mother hens experience empathy with their chicks when their chicks experience stress. Some of us can relate to that. Mother hens and chicks communicate with each other before the chicks hatch. And these vocalizations then become the primary way that mother hens and chicks identify each other after they are hatched. Some of us can also relate to that. We've played Mozart, right? To our wombs. That's such a weird word. What else did I find out? Oh, chicks will by instinct preen themselves and scratch around in the ground, but they have to be taught to drink. So farmers and producers of chickens, when there's no mother hen around, will have to take a chick and literally dip its beak into the water in order for it to figure out that it needs to drink. Then I also watched some videos on YouTube about chickens. And I found that mother hens, I saw videos of mother hens protecting, acting very T-Rex-like, protecting their chicks from dogs and cats and goats and rowdy 10-year-old boys. At least they looked around 10 or so. So put all this together, and this is how Jesus wishes to act towards God's people in God's city, Jerusalem. And of course, by extension, this is how Jesus desires to act toward each of us, with the ferocity of a T-Rex, with profound empathy that feels our pains and our fears with us. He desires to speak to us in the very depth of our being so we will know to whom we belong. He wants to teach us life-giving ways to quench our thirst. And he desires to draw us close for warmth and protection so that we will not be taken in by wily foxes or rowdy boys or other bullies. But we are not willing. We are not willing. If you think about it, it probably shouldn't surprise us that we're not willing. A mother hen doesn't seem like a whole lot of protection against a wily fox like Herod or Pontius Pilate. or the Roman Empire that they serve. As the opening verses of chapter 13 tell us, and as the opening minutes of the news remind us, the world is full of wily foxes and white supremacists and angry people with guns. Troubling times and disturbing events are ever-present threats to our sense of safety, our feelings of security, our assurance of well-being. Like us, the crowds following Jesus worried about the events of the day, two recent disasters in particular. Like us, they want assurance that there is something that they can do, something that they could be, so that this won't happen to them. The first event that we heard of was a time when Pilate, whose reputation for arbitrary brutality was well known, apparently he murdered Galileans who were carrying out their religious duties. The second disaster mentioned in Luke was a mere happenstance of fate. This was when a tower that was part of the city collapsed and killed 18 people. A mother hen would not be much defense against murderous Pilate or the capricious whims of fate. Now I ask you, given our very reasonable anxieties about the events of our day, would you rather have a mother hen sheltering you? Or maybe you would prefer the great lion of Judah, which was the symbol of the house of Judah. Maybe you would prefer the wings of that eagle carrying you protectively that the prophet Isaiah speaks of, or the bear or the leopard that the prophet Hosea promises. In times like these, I think we'd all agree that we would much prefer one of those than a chicken for comfort and protection. And then, of course, complicating this whole nurturing mother hen image is that wonderful, angry, troubling R word, repent. Repent. We have to hear that when what we'd really much rather hear is, come here, honey. Don't worry. Mommy's got you. None of us wants to find shelter under the wings of a mother hen who is going to squawk, repent, at us. Repent is an ugly, off-putting word that we UCCers in particular don't really like to hear. If you look it up in the dictionary, you will see words like remorse, regret, self-reproach, guilt, sorrow, to define repent. There's a cloud of guilt that just hovers over this word, and it leads us to wonder if we have repented enough, or if maybe there is something that I did that I have forgotten to repent of. And mind you, we are indeed called to repent always we are called to repent. However, the actual Greek word that gets translated as repent means a whole lot more than simply to turn away and stop doing bad deeds. The word is metanoia. Meta, beyond. Noia, knowing, knowledge. Metanoia means to take our thinking in new directions, to take our intentions and our thinkings beyond the usual paths they go, beyond the usual patterns. It means to move out of what we are instinctually accustomed to thinking and seeing and understanding and go in new paths, new directions. More recent translations of the Bible, the Common English Bible for one, translate metanoia as change your hearts and minds. Change your hearts and lives. So they translate this line, unless you change your hearts and lives, you too will perish. Unless you repent, you too will perish. Now, Jesus could offer us an explanation here about why these bad things happen and how we can avoid having them happen to us. We'd all like an explanation. Why did that plane in Ethiopia crash? Beyond the whole Boeing stuff, why that plane on that day with those people? We'd like an explanation. He doesn't give us one. Instead of offering us an explanation, he calls us to repent. And in calling us to repent, he offers us a way of life. In calling us to repent, he offers an invitation to change our hearts and our lives, and live in a way that is characterized by love of God and love of neighbor. In offering us to repent, he calls us to live in ways that give life, not guilt or shame. Think about this. How many times have you heard about a tragic car accident and looked for an explanation? Asked things like, were they wearing their seatbelt? Were they drinking? If we had that explanation, then maybe we could think it wouldn't happen to us. But instead of looking for the explanation, perhaps instead what is needed is the sheltering of the mother hen, the empathy that she gives her chicks. How many of you have ever heard of an incident of sexual assault? Classic case is to ask, what was she wearing? Was she drinking? When perhaps what is needed is the empathy of the mother hen. How many times have you said to a child, to your own child, well, that's what happens, honey, when you don't follow the rules? When maybe what the child needs were the mother hen's words of compassion spoken to the depths of their being. How many times have we rebuked ourselves for being so clumsy with our words, so ignorant, so selfish, so impulsive, so naive, so when what was needed instead was the warmth and protection of our mother hen from the ways we bully ourselves. In the protective shelter of her wings, our mother God says to us, life can be so cruel, but here I offer you the ways that give life, the ways of empathy and mercy. When we repent with changed hearts and lives, we see an unproductive tree and we respond by cultivating a second, a third, a fourth chance rather than chopping it down and tossing it aside. A colleague of mine back at Middlebury College, a colleague who was not religious in any way, shape, or form, had to justify her reasons for wanting a course release in the fall so that she could participate in a prison education program. Why, she was asked by the dean of faculty development, why do you need to do this? Why do you want to do this? Rebecca's answer was, because I don't want to live in a world that just casts people aside as useless and non-human. She gets it. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. During this season of Lent, may we repent and gather ourselves and all God's children in the shelter of her wings.